Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
I love this house. I love this place. And I'll tell you why. Because people coming in, you know, there's already been a layer of prayer, all right? Matter of fact, on Thursday, we just started praying for people in the church. And I'll tell you, for me, it almost turned into like trading cards, you know, you used to have when you were a kid. But all these faces came up in my heart, and I just began to pray for people. And I just thought, man, I'd love to kind of, so we just put a phone call out to everybody in the church. And for you guys hopefully it helped you where you were, but man, if it didn't, just kind of grin and bear it. We're just trying to reach out and reach people the best way we can. And, you know, there's so many people that have come up and said, you know, it was a perfect point, the perfect moment when I received that call. And I'll tell you, it's just because of this place, this house. I'm telling you, there's already been a layer of prayer. And now, I guarantee, and when I say it, you'll say, yeah, you're right. I can feel it. There's an atmosphere of faith here. There's an atmosphere of trust here. You know, last week we had our healed services, and man, God is just so faithful. I mean, so faithful, even when we're not. And you know, this is February, and I think there's this unwritten rule somewhere in preacher land that you have to do a series in February on relationships. So that's what everybody's doing, and I guess I'm going to do it too. But I'm going to do it from a different angle. All right. I want to just kind of, you know, it starts with, you know, absolutely with our relationship with God, and you know that, all right? Even if you're unchurched, you know that our relationship with God is the pivotal relationship with our life. The only thing about that is it's not social. This relationship that we have with God isn't a social relationship. It's not, hey, bro, hey, you know. You know, like the secret handshake and the, it's nothing like that. It's so deep, like deeper than we could ever get, than we ever thought about getting. You know, it's interesting when you have kids and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I can love this kid more than I do, this baby. And then you have more than one, and you're thinking, how can I love two of them? I love the one so much, how can I love two of them? And then you start having grandbabies, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm smitten, and, you know, our Brooklyn's gonna have, she's 4 weeks out to having a baby, and Cassie's ready to go again, in September. And I'm thinking about this, it's just the layers of it, and I'll tell you why, and you know that at the beginning and at the end of the day, God's love. So that's what hits us. So we've got this blanket of prayer, and we've got this atmosphere of faith. And now listen, for us to receive God's love. See, that I'm telling you, that's the grand prize. And you know, our relationship with God, it's not social. I've heard an expression, I think it's pretty accurate, that there's relationships that we have, and you should probably write this down. You know, this is something, if you have kids, you might want to sit down and talk to them about it. But there's relationships that you have for a reason. There's relationships that you have for a season. And there's relationships that we have for life, that I'm in for life. And some of them change. Some of them, the buy-in is you're thinking, man, it's for life, and it ends up being for a season. And really, honestly, and I'm not saying a season because God changes anything, because they may change, you may change, situation may change, the need may change, you know, deception may come into the mix. But there's for a reason, for a season, and for life. And with God, this is for life. You know, I remember 32 and a half years ago, Sandy and I got married, and I married her for life. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm in for life. And, well, now after 32 and a half years and I'm 59 years old, it's like it is. There's a reality to it now. And that's what has to happen in our relationship with God. You know, that reality has to hit where this is for life. This is for real. This is the real deal. I spoke to the University of Tulsa basketball team yesterday, and I'm looking at these guys, and you know, young guys, you know, and super big but young, and I said, look, where you are right now, what do you want? You know, I talked to them about blind Bartimaeus, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me," and they're saying, "Would you hush? The guy's teeth, you can't, you're blind, you can't see, you don't know what you're doing right now." And he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Well, look, let him come. Look, this situation didn't get any better. Let him come. I want to talk to him." And the guy, so Bartimaeus comes up to Jesus, and he's standing in front of Jesus, and Jesus said, "Okay, spill the beans. What do you want? What can I do for you?" He said, "That I might see." And remember, Jesus spit, made mud, put it in his eyes, and said, "Now go wash your eyes out." See, Bartimaeus came to Jesus, and he couldn't see because he was blind. And Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" Jesus said, "What do you want?" And he said, "That I might see." Well, then Jesus, look, when he left Jesus' company and he went to the fountain to wash his eyes out, he still couldn't see. But now it wasn't because he was blind, it was because he had mud in his eyes. See, so Jesus shifted things. What do you want? See, that's the question. But see, what it's going to require, it's going to require three things. It's going to require a focus. I've heard a ton of people say, "I want to pay off my house." Yeah, okay, great. Quit buying frivolous stuff then. Man, let me tell you, because there's got to be a focus. There's got to be preparation. And then there's got to be effort. See, this confession of our faith ties into all. That's where it starts. That confession becomes my focus. I'm telling you, I remember back in 1979, where I went back to my apartment. I was by myself. It was in the early evening. And I just stopped everything in my life. And I just said, "God, you're the healer." And I'm telling you, my focus became, "God, you heal anybody, everybody, anytime, anywhere, no matter what." And walking it out, I'm telling you, things didn't look, it looked weird taking that kind of stand. It felt like, well, shoot, why did that happen? And why did this happen? But to me, I had that focus. Well, then what did I have to do? I had to prepare myself, prepare my heart for that. It's not just good enough to say, "Hey, God wants to heal you." Because here's the deal. There's a court. You know, it's interesting because the Bible says to enter his courts with praise. Did you know that? Well, see, it's not a courtyard. There's not butterflies, and it's not a bunch of flowers, and you know, it's a little windy little trail through the courtyard. Enter his courts with praise. No, it's his court, where you come to God's court, and there's Jesus that's standing on your behalf. But there's the devil there that's accusing you, and what those accusations are the stuff that you have thought, and the stuff that you have said, and the stuff that you have done that didn't honor God. But the biggest thing is, you come to God's courts, you have to come with praise. So there can't be any unforgiveness in your heart. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart and you come to God and you're like, "God, thank you for healing me. God, you healed me, and by whose stripes you're healed," with unforgiveness in your heart, that healing can't get to you. See, you have to understand this. Our God is a just God. And see, when we understand that, we're like, wait a second. What is up here? Is there unforgiveness? Is there unrepentant sin in your life? You know, I hate to get real with you, but let me tell you something. The world, I don't hate to get real with you. I need to back up. But I'm getting real with you because the world's very real. Let me tell you something. People feel like they need to demonstrate and protest and other people want to throw their chest out there. No, we're the church. See, understand, this isn't about all the little facts that we're dealing with. This is about the truth. And that's all I want to give you. And let me tell you, everything I say, you better back it up in God's word. You better check. You better have that relationship with God in his word that you're not going, "Well, okay, I'll take his word for it." Let me help you. I'm right. Because I know I am. But you know what? You got to know that I am. You got to know that you are. Because I'll tell you, when life gets real for you, man, I don't want you wondering who you're going to call and what the heck you're going to do. Man, somebody comes with a pink nose, somebody fires you and they don't have grounds because they want to hire their son-in-law. What are you going to do? Let me tell you something. That's where this gets real. See, we're built for adversity. Do you understand that? A brother is built. We are brothers and sisters. We are built for adversity. Yeah, we'll celebrate together, but let me tell you something. Your kids going haywire, man, you got to have brothers that are built. The last thing I would have wanted to do is raise my son Taylor without this church, without men in this church. There have been a number of times where Taylor's called Scott Houston. There have been a number of times where Chano and Chris and Jeremy, other people were there. See, we have to look at our lives, the relationship that we, everything can't be this little feather pillar of that social. See, our social life, what happens is we like you back up, and our real life change isn't just in our behaviors and our habits and the social part of our life. It's in our hearts. See, it's right here. It's deep. I'll tell you, Jesus came into my life at such a deep level. Oh my gosh. I guess I got to deal with this now. I mean, honestly, it's I've experienced this out on the street ministering to people in other places where it's like Jesus took my heart out of my chest and said, "Are you satisfied with this? For real, is this, could be full of anxiety, could be full of fear, could be full of doubt, could be full of unforgiveness or bitterness. Are you satisfied with this?" Seeing, man, I go to the psalmist and I tell you, man, Sandy shared this verse one time in a service and I'd heard it dozens of times, but she shared it and I was like, oh my gosh. So it's cool. I always link this verse to Sandy. When the psalmist, when David said, "I would have lost heart. I would," no questions. No, I wonder if it's going to happen. No, you know, I was having a bad day, you know, and I was thinking, I got God over on this side, and I'm gonna go get wasted on this side. No, he said, "I would have lost heart." It's a definite, it's factual. I would have lost heart unless I'd believed. I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'll tell you, she shared that verse in that service a couple years ago. It changed my heart. Because I think about that. I think about mine. See, I care about you as well. And you might lose your keys. You might lose a little money. You might be betting on the Falcons tonight. You might lose a little money. You might. But you know something? Don't lose heart. But see, how do you do that? In the proverb, it says, man, keep your heart with all diligence. And guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows. Everybody say flows. See, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows. Let's go to the next verse or something. Go to the proverb. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. See, they want to flow. They want to spring forth. They want to, see, but you got to keep your heart. You got to guard your heart. You got to make sure that, man, your heart's not all bound up with whatever. I'll tell you, there's 1,000 different dadgum things that we just let get in our heart. And it's like, man, you got to be careful with the conversations you get in. You got to be careful of the things. I'll tell you right now, Sandy's in Philadelphia at a baby shower with Brooklyn. And we were talking this morning and she was talking and she said, "Well, wait a second. I don't want to even talk about that because you're going to preach this morning." So you got to guard your heart. See, your heart's got to be free. And when your heart's free, man, now you can glorify God. Now life's a game changer for you. But you have to give, you have to keep your heart, you have to guard your heart. And the Bible says this, with all diligence. Remember, it's focus, it's preparation, and it's effort. See, in the effort, and there's so many times with staff guys, or so many times with interns, or so many times even with church or friends, it's like, I'll look at this situation they're in. Roger, you got to go through this so many times. You'll be talking to a guy, and he'll be failing, and something will be happening. It's like, are you trying? For real, are you trying? Where's the effort? How about a little effort? Remember, you had a coach, and or you had players that you played with, and man, there'd be somebody that just drop, hit their hands and drop. And it's like, and we'll be saying, well, wait a second, it's not that big. No, we've practiced that hundreds of times. Catch it. Are you trying? And see, that's how this is. See, write this down. None of the passes God throws are out of your reach. They're going to hit your hands. They're going to bounce off your face mask. They are going to hit your frame. God is not going to miss you. Understand that. Man, that game tonight, two or three missed passes, game changer. Man, we got to catch it. What does that require? Focus, preparation, effort. See, that's the life that God's given us. And see, we go back to Psalm 119 and 112, and that psalmist the psalmist says, I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. You know, you think about it right now. Has your life, and you're the one that's got to inspect yourself, examine yourself. There's a little edge to this message this morning, can you tell? Man, there's somebody in here that it's important for you to hear this. Something. Pick up something. Have a takeaway today. But Psalm 119, 112 says, I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. That I'll tell you what jumps out at me in that verse is that word inclined. You know, when I coach people, it's like, hey, sit up. Man, if you're in this service and your posture and you're kind of like this, I don't know what you're thinking you're going to receive. If you're reclined, but let me ask you, how many people in life that are Christians that we see them that are living a life where their heart is reclined with God's statutes? Maybe people in here, Skytook, Sepulpa, you guys watching online. See, it's got to be personal. I don't want to have my heart reclined. And especially, I don't want to have my heart declined. I'm not declining a dadgum thing with the Lord. I'm just telling you. Man, God directs me, I'm going. My switch is on go. But see, we've got to be focused and prepared and ready to make the effort. Same thing's true in our marriages. Man, is your heart reclined in your marriage? You take your husband for granted. You take your wife for granted. Is it always them? Is it always what they could be doing? Man, are you living in some kind of fantasy world about your wife, what she should be about in your marriage? Man, I'll tell you, we gotta wake up and be focused on and get our lead from God's word. Because I'll tell you, what does the Bible say? The entrance of his word brings light. And that light is life. See, we've got to let his word enter the situation. And then we wait upon the Lord. And then we have to be courageous. That's what the word says. In 119, 113 of the psalm, it says, I hate the double-minded. And that's he's talking about his own heart. I hate it, the double-mindedness in me. But God, I love your law. See, that's where we have to get. We have to get to where we love everything about God. You know, we think about the tithe. Yeah, I love the tithe. Why? It's God. Serving? Yeah, I love to serve. Why? It's God. My flesh? I can't negotiate. Because you know what? If it's whether I feel like it or not, I don't know what, the odds probably aren't even 50-50. And see, and we have to realize that verse 114 says, God, you're my hiding place and you're my shield. And you're my high tower that I run to and I'm safe. I hope in your word. I put my hope in your promise. Man, I'm hoping this situation works out, you know, because God loves me. And, you know, God's gonna do what God's gonna do. And, you know, we're just talking in vague generalities like that. No, I'm telling you, this has got to be specific. This has got to be personal. You've got to be focused for this to work. See, you understand that that life and the world and the devil, it shouts in generalities. God doesn't. God's a still small voice. It's razor sharp. Man, you've got to remove yourself from all the screaming and all the clamoring and everything else. And you've got to get to that place where you hear God that's still. Remember, man, there was a fire and it wasn't God, it was a wind, and there was light, all this thunder, and none of it, God wasn't in any of it, but the still small voice. I'm focused, God. Man, I'll tell you, the direction I give myself, God, I hear your voice and another voice I won't follow. God, I thank you that your voice is, there's clarity. God, I thank you that there's direction. God, I thank you that I am able in every decision in my life to make a righteous decision. Because it boils down to this, okay? Because you know what our flesh wants, who we were once is Doritos. No, look what happened when I said that. It's like, whoa. I mean, how many guys, let me see your hands, how many guys like Doritos? How many guys will fight for Doritos? How many guys anytime? Let me tell you, Taco Bell was going in the tank. And you know, there must have been some kind of 13-year-old kid or something in a marketing meeting said, let's make Doritos. I'm telling you what, I saw that Taco Bell commercial, I want to buy stock. Shouldn't be as funny as it is. But see, do you love or hate preparation? Do you love or hate practice? Man, I played football for years. Football's a bummer to practice. That's why you see these grown men now. You'll see these guys, man, they'll come out with their shirts off and it's freezing cold out there and they're running around and they're playing. You see, man, you see these offensive tackles that are 330 pounds that are running fade patterns and they're throwing, these coaches are throwing them balls, these guys lumbering. Why? Because they got to add a little fun to it. But let me tell you what happens after practice is those games. And then you live for game day and you can't stand it. It's like game day is such a, and in our hearts, that's because God put that in us with him. But see, that practice and that preparation, you gotta make yourself love it. You gotta put yourself in a place where, man, that preparation, patience and endurance. Oh, I love to endure. And you wanna eat right? Oh yeah, I do. I'm gonna start eating right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But see, we gotta get to that place where it boils down to this. You ready? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.